Welcome. This talk was recorded at Insight LA in Long Beach. Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at insightla.org.
Well, welcome everyone. And if I haven't said Happy New Year to you personally, I want to say Happy New Year and how wonderful it is to see all of you. Anyway, it's always a time to, at the new year, we tend to take a fresh look at our lives and do some evaluating. And really make a connection to our values, to what brings us meaning, to the core of who we are, and to listen deeply to our heart's desires and deepest longings. So I wanted to look at the subject of paying attention to our intention for the new year. And very often we say that intention should be, and should is a funny word, but a wise attention, an intention that's leaning towards wisdom, towards wholesome action from the unwholesome, leading towards liberation, to awakening, and whatever that means to you. And I wanted to, in the first part of this, just suggest five ways to incline towards wise intention in our mindfulness and Buddhist practice. And the second part, open this up to sharing, which we did yesterday in the Saturday sit, just for some group sharing and honoring of our beautiful soulful beings who come here to Sangha every week, and just allow ourselves to celebrate each other. And the last part of the sit, we'll do a little bit longer metta practice, loving kindness practice for the new year. So five ways to set wise intention. And you can take some notes if you have a pen and paper, and just feel what feels right for you, where you want to bring fresh energy, joy, taking an aim, having a desire, and see what comes up for you as I speak. Maybe there are some things that occur to you or that arise up for you that are meaningful for you. So the first one is to know more deeply and to live through the experience, to understand the Buddha's words on impermanence, suffering, dukkha, and anatta, no self. Really knowing from the depth of soul the truth of life. Noting daily and every day how impermanence affects us, the reality of impermanence, the impermanence of our daily lives, the dukkha, the suffering that's inherent in living, and how we cling and push away, how we personalize suffering when suffering is at the core. And the release from suffering, what is the unnecessary suffering? You know, some suffering, as we say, the first arrow is the suffering that happens from just being alive, just being in the world, the little sufferings, the big sufferings. But what is the added suffering? The suffering that's unnecessary suffering through our clinging and grasping and wanting it to be different. So knowing the play of consciousness of this dukkha and how we relate to it, how we understand it. And anatta, no self, you know, what is, who do I take myself to be? And what fiction am I writing about myself? What parts of myself am I clinging to and holding on to? How am I reifying this self and adding? And is there freedom in subtracting and letting go? So to continue to play with awareness in daily life on impermanence, dukkha, and no self, anatta, and see if it deepens for you, if it keeps deepening, how it changes, how it colors your life. So that's one. The second one would be, I want to lean in and I want to bring more stillness into my daily life, more of a sacredness, a touching into the heart and being. Maybe I will do this through pausing, feeling my breath, sensing my body, practicing metta in the moment, loving kindness. But through daily life, time for sacred and silence and turning in. Maybe I'm establishing a morning practice. You're welcome to join us at 7 a.m. Or an evening practice, joining us at 7 p.m. Making more time, setting aside a place for my meditation, joining others for sitting, or just taking quiet moments throughout the day to feel the heart and to allow this sacredness in the silence, this peace in the silence, to allow my mind to take rest in the silence, in peaceful spaces. And maybe that's by, being in nature or doing walking meditation. However it is you arrive there. So that would be two. And the third one is, I want to dwell in the divine abodes. I want to have loving kindness, compassion, joy, and equanimity, embody this body, fill this body. I want to know my own heart. I want to know that heart space and not only offer it to myself, but to others. And I want to be this living prayer of loving kindness. When judgment arises, I'm going to switch that off and offer this person peace and health and happiness. I'm not even going to go there with a judgment. And I'm going to do the same thing for myself. When a judgment of myself comes up, I'm going to call up compassion and care and loving kindness and gentleness. So I want this divine abode, this Brahma Vihara, to radiate from me to others and towards myself and live that as a prayer in this year, to deepen the awareness, particularly joy. Joy is included. Joy in being, joy in experience, joy with others, appreciative joy. And of course, the equanimity, to really weather these storms that we've been challenged with and maybe likely will continue. So that would be, the third one. The fourth one would be, I want to know the felt sense of grasping and non-grasping in the moment, clinging and non-clinging, holding on and letting go. And the dukkha, the suffering in each. I want to know the felt sense of non-grasping, of release, of let go when I am clinging to a sense of myself or some condition in life, some expectation, something I think should happen. What is the felt sense of release? Of letting go, of non-clinging. And is there a sweetness in that, a wisdom in that, something to be known, some deeper experience? And the last one that I would say in terms of a wise intention or an aspiration is don't wait to wait. Don't wait to wait. What am I putting off or putting on the back burner that could be front burner? Is it deepening my practice or sitting more often or having an adventure or deepening my practice with art, with writing or painting or... is it service of some kind? Is it generosity? Is it a heart's aspiration, something new that I want to learn or new that I want to do? What is it this heart is yearning for? And is it too often put on the back burner? Too often shoved in the closet and for a rainy day or when there's more time. Don't wait to wait. When the heart yearns, can we turn and listen deeply and give ourselves this beautiful regard so that our lives reflect truly who we are? Because life is so precious and we don't know how much time we have. So don't wait to wait. And those to me were the five wise attentions to intention that, that felt right for me at the turn of this year. And, I will open it up for you if anyone wants to add to that, add to this list. You can unmute yourself and share something. So I'll give you a couple of minutes. So I got this as a post. Someone posted this for me. If you have one, you can unmute when I, Desmond Tutu has passed, and I got some beautiful quotes sent to me this morning, and I wanted to include that in our wise intention, some words from Desmond Tutu. And we'll talk about this a little bit more. And so I'll read a few and they will hit your heart like they did mine. They just like, you know, little heart explosions in there. Do your little bit of good where you are. It's those little bits of good put together that overwhelm the world. So this can be another wise intention to keep doing our little bits of good, particularly now. Here's another one, and these are from Desmond, not from me, you can tell. Okay, cultivate your forgiveness with your friends, with your family, with strangers, and with yourself. Remind yourself that every person you encounter carries a sorrow and a struggle. Recognize that we all share a fundamental humanity. So this is more of dwelling in the divine abodes and the Brahma Viharas and practicing forgiveness, which maybe we'll have some time for later. And here's the last one I'll read today. Well, maybe not. I might read a few more, but I love this one. We are made to exist in a delicate network of interdependence, which is directly a Buddhist teaching, what the Buddha talks about. We are sisters and brothers, whether we like it or not. To treat anyone as if they were less than human, less than a brother or a sister, no matter what they have done, is to contravene the very laws of our humanity. And those who shred the web of interconnectedness cannot escape the consequences of their actions. And here's the last one I'm really going to read. Okay, I just love his words because you could feel his soul in them. And we are not responsible for what breaks us, but we can be responsible for what puts us back together again. Naming the hurt is how we begin to repair our broken parts. So if you have some pen and paper handy, what I'd like you to do, yesterday we did this together in a small group, and I think Claire was there and Heather. And what arose was we got to celebrate each other actually at the end of the year and find out some really lovely things about each other. So here are some questions, and then you can unmute. And when you share, you're really sharing your heart with this group and your soul and your loveliness. So please be generous with the group and yourself. This is time to sparkle a little. Yep. So here are three questions, and you can answer one when you're ready and by unmuting, and whichever one is right for you. What are you most grateful for this year? What is a win for you? And what are you proud of? And when you're ready, you can unmute like popcorn.
Happy New Year. Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
So I am, this is bittersweet, but I am celebrating and honoring that I opened my heart to love and to uncertainty. And then over the course of that relationship, also let it go. Because I learned and listened to the truth, so my deeper truth, and that was really hard. So it was a lot of lessons. It was both in opening to love and then to also letting a love go when I needed to. And it's still a bit confusing, but really it's not. I mean, that's just doubt that pops in, but the larger part of me, when I go back to the reasons, you know, I think memory becomes a little faulty. It's not very true. It's not our real true companion. So anyway, that's it. Thank you.
Wise lessons, deep lessons. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Yeah, we're having a little trouble hearing you. Want to try again?
I have to have a turn.
That's better. Go ahead.
Happy New Year, everybody. I left Long Beach, my hometown that I love very much. I'm a beach girl. I'm a water girl, and moved to the landlocked state of New Mexico, Santa Fe, to teach orchestra. And I left just an unjust family system that didn't work for me, circles of friends that didn't really work for me, to start over with almost basically nothing except my job. So it was really.
We are happy to hear this loveliness that she's got a new job and new place that serves her. And maybe we can saying what you were starting, and congratulations. Go ahead. Yeah. Are you there?
Oh, yeah. What point did I get up? I don't know. One day I was here and the next I was gone.
I know. Yeah. Well, congratulations on your news, and thank you for letting us know. Keep us attuned to what's going on, and hope you can zoom in. It's great to have you from New Mexico. It's great. Good luck on this job. Anyone else? Don't be shy.
Yeah, hi, Wendy, and hi, everyone. I did want to share some of the intentions that I've been thinking about, and it kind of boiled down to just deepening my ability to trust and to have greater faith. I think a lot of people on this Zoom call have been practicing for, you know, quite some time, and we kind of have all the tools. Like, and it's just moving into that ability to let it align your life instead of fighting, I think, what we know or want on a surface level versus kind of what we really know and intuit on these deeper levels, and just having the ability to trust in that process and let it guide our life. So that's one of the things I'm really going to be working on. Well, I am working on right now, but probably in the next couple of months. And that'll be, I think, the dominant intention for the year. And just to let that take me where it takes me.
Well said, to trust. Yes.
Can I share?
Yes, good to see you.
Good to see you too. Happy New Year, everyone. I'm grateful this year for having the strength and courage and openness to allow myself to let go of certain aspects of my life. And in so doing so, my own heart, which was telling me to just, it's time to let go of these events. One in particular was a job that I had, and not really having a very clear plan, but still trusting my heart. And in so doing so, I have gained these new opportunities that wouldn't have happened had I not taken that step to let go, to sink or dive into the unknown. And so I'm truly grateful for allowing myself to trust myself, to trust my heart, really. So thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Zed. Well said. These are wonderful. All right, give me more. My greed is coming up, right? I'm clinging to what everyone's sharing.
Yeah, I usually bring something kind of simple, but this is not something simple that I have been concerned about. For the last 13 years, I have traveled with my husband and very dear friends, and we go to New York and we have a fabulous time. And we've made arrangements to go in 2 weeks, and I am like, I don't want to go. 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 He's not here, so he can't hear me say all these things, but I have told him maybe I don't want to go. I don't know. I don't want to go. And I'm filled with concern. And I don't usually walk around with concern, but I have very large concern on this. And I don't know why I wanted to scream that at you guys, but that's where I'm living. I don't know what else to say. Wendy, you got some advice. I'm really open.
Well, I think Jane, before we came, we were all together. Jane and Don and I were chatting about that fear. And Jane, what did you say? Do you want to respond? Because you said some good things, I thought.
I don't have a solution. I'm really sorry. I wish I had more wisdom. Oh, Lord, I don't. You know, but it's funny because what I was going to say, which isn't really responding to what both of you are targeting for me, is that I'm pretty grateful to be alive in terms of being simple. I really wasn't sure that that would be the case when a year was over. And I think some of us aren't sure that the people we love are going to be alive or us either if we stick it out with them in the future. But I mean, a year later, you know, I look at all of you, we're all still here, people. Can you believe it? I guess I think that's pretty miraculous. You know, you all look pretty alive. And, you know, that says something. We can at least worry, huh? I was also thinking that I had written down here as you were asking the question was resilience. And, oh my God, Linda, just to think about being in your shoes right now and when I've been there, I don't think I felt very resilient when the people, both my grandson and daughter-in-law got COVID. So, I mean, I've just been really weird the whole year. And, you know, those periods came with such intensity. And I mean, I'm grateful right now I had the resilience to get through, but right in the middle of it, when the decisions, which I didn't have any idea what the outcome would be. I mean, I canceled a flight to be with a friend whose husband died in August. And there I was facing travel, like you were facing travel. And I felt like such a heel, but I was just terrible. I couldn't do it. I mean, my inside says I can't go to Boston. And I canceled it. Well, I've canceled more than one trip. And, you know, I think the things I really wanted, they were all things that I needed to do for other people. But anyway, I guess we all live, I live through it. But it's really difficult. And it's so hard for me to have clear sight when I'm in the middle of it, when I don't know what the have no idea what the outcome's going to be. But I do know that it won't last forever and a decision will be made. And it's good knowing that that's true and not being stuck in it and feeling like it'll never change.
I'd like and, to add that.
Yeah, thank you. Go ahead.
You need to listen to the inner voice. And it seems to me that your intuition, your inner voice is saying pretty loudly, I don't want to go. Last winter, January, February, I took a motorcycle and I rode down to Central America. And my inner voice was saying, Nicaragua is dangerous. Maybe I don't want to go there. And I should have listened because it was very dangerous and I should not have been there. So sometimes you have to listen to what that little voice says to you. It says, I don't want to do this. I don't think I'm going to.
Thank you. Yeah, you've got some very lovely support there, Linda, to contemplate that. And yeah, I would say as a New Yorker, I would wait for the time when the city isn't so constrained. You know, there's so many wonderful things to experience there. And I'd wait for this wave, you know. Yes.
Yes. I think it sounds like fear of missing out. For example, one of my coworkers, and I'm not making this up, they went to Galapagos in the middle of December 2 weeks ago. So it's two couples, both physicians, wives are professional, and they went to Galapagos and they came back telling me how hard it was to travel and how I should do this. And in my mind, I'm like, no. So you've got people that are going away now, taking long flights to Hawaii, wearing masks on planes. And I'm like, I am not doing this. I have no desire to go anywhere. We didn't go anywhere for New Year's, period. which, and we've always gone. And we used to go to New York in January, by the way. But I was trying to pull up the week. I don't know if you guys get the week, because I just read an article last night that said the bottom line is COVID's not going away, and the odds are that we are all going to get it soon enough. So you either go find COVID in New York or you don't. So it's like, if you don't want to go, don't go. And if you're going to miss out and you want to be there, miss out, just be very cautious. Take a lot of masks, a lot of, hand cleaner, and wear gloves. Just be oversensitive. But the problem is that once you're going to be in a crowd, you're going to say, oh, everybody's not wearing a mask, it's okay. And you're going to let your guard down. So you can't trust yourself, because you're going to be caught in the moment of, oh, yeah, I got to do this. So, I wouldn't go. I got to tell you, people are not going to tell you what to do, but there's no way I'm leaving Irvine right now.
Yeah.
You know, at least for a couple of years. But then some people go to Galapagos. So, like, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, before we have Anthony speak, what I want to say about our dialogue that I'm enjoying is we are discussing as a group the reality of our present moment. We're not just going, contemplate your breath and watch your mind and do some Buddhist prayers and, you know, do your walking meditation. We're being real with each other about what we're facing and what kinds of effort and discrimination it takes to be safe or to make our best bet. And what arose out of our conversation, so I want to pause here, is through your feedback and sharing, is the difference of trusting your gut and your heart, you know, really sensing and feeling into your truth, which tends to be more body-based. You know, that saying, trust your gut, feel your heart, you know, that there's a real truth that's you, rather than listening to the chatter of the mind that's very often filled with desire and pleasing people and not wanting to miss out and, you know, ruminating and adding and constructing, that there's a difference. There's a difference. And one leads to peace, you know, more peace, and one leads to, you know, the anxiety. It's not that easy. But yeah, thank you, Linda, for bringing in the reality and truth of where we are, so that we can practice within the frame of the truth and not just do the superficial, I'm a mindfulness person, you know, like pink paint over things. This is the reality, and we all have to make these decisions, and we're going to make them every day, and it's constantly changing. The impermanence of the COVID, every day I'm reading new things, and it's changing. The reality is changing. One day it was Delta, and the next day it's Omicron, and the next day it's this mask, and the next day it's that antibody, and, you know, it just goes on and on. And this is where we dwell in equanimity, in resilience, relying on the practice for equanimity and resilience, for finding our steadiness. Yeah. And as Jane also said, hey, we survived it a year. Yay, gratitude. And hopefully we all have a good outcome for this next year.
Yeah, of course, I'm also thinking about, and I canceled a couple of trips since COVID hit. One was right before the Delta. I was supposed to be going to Portugal, and, you know, just... You're afraid of letting people down. That was for me the big thing in canceling. But then when I canceled, it was amazing because everybody else had the exact same fears, and they thanked me for being the brave one to be the first to cancel. And then they all canceled. So in some ways, or maybe not, maybe they'll go, maybe they'll be well, maybe they'll get sick. But, you know, I think you have to go with whatever your mind is telling you, whatever your heart is telling you. And, you know, that has always worked for me. And your friends love you, so it really doesn't matter if you miss one trip. And it may give them cover, so because they're feeling the exact same things you are. But I just wanted to say that in this new year, even more than ever, I'm realizing how precious the Dharma is. And the teachings of the Buddha and this Sangha and family and friends. I guess absence makes the heart grow fonder. I see Joel, I haven't seen him in a long time in person. It's good to see you, man. I see all of you guys. I mean, it's like, oh, it's so wonderful that we can at least connect, you know, through Zoom. And, you know, we'll get together in person again one day. So good to see everyone. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Anthony. Does anyone else want to?
Yeah, so thank you and Happy New Year, everyone. May 2022 be good for all of us. I think what came to mind is that I am proud of, or what my win is for this past year, is a year of caregiving. That is not easy. It's a challenge, and there have been times where I just thought I can't do this, and I did. I have, and I am. So I have to look at that as a win. And through that, also the gratitude for my daughter. Because I'm connected with support groups, and I hear so many people going through this alone with family members that don't support them or live far away, or just having this wonderful soon-to-be 25-year-old daughter who is just part of this caregiving team. And I'm just grateful she's such an awesome person and grateful to have her with me through this. So I think that's where I am right now. It came to mind. So thank you.
Thank you, Sue. And we send you much metta for the caregiving, which is so very, very difficult. Yeah. Anyone else want to say anything about gratitude, a win, something you want to celebrate, something you want to continue into the new year?
Yes. Hi, I'm first time visitor, and I met Soleil a month ago, and I quit. I just related to everyone. This is my first visit. I quit drinking. It'll be 10 years, June 1st. That's my birthday, and super proud of that. I don't say I'm recovering. I'm a recovered alcoholic. I stepped on its throat, but I haven't been to meetings in years, and I feel like this morning, as soon as you started sharing, it clicked with me that this is the best thing that happened to me. I want to share with the person who's going to New Mexico. I wish you the best. I'm a Long Beach fourth generation native water baby. I grew up on the beach, and this is my home. And I love Alamitos Bay and Long Beach with all my heart. And I wish you the best. If you're not with the right people, then you're not in the right place. So I totally appreciate what you shared. The woman who shared she doesn't want to go on the trip in 2 weeks, I really felt, wow, I've been here before. And it released in me the meetings that I haven't gone to. I'm experiencing a lot of success right now in my life for the first time, validation. And so I need to keep my ego in check. And just sitting here and listening has really, I want to do this again. I'm just grateful that Soleil invited me to sit in on this, and I definitely relate to everyone through the AA meetings I used to go to. And I felt at home as soon as you started asking people to share. And I realized how healthy that is. So thank you.
Well, welcome to the group. It's good to have you.
Thanks.
So the interesting thing that you talked about was the full circle of learning what not self is in Buddhism is one way to say, I'm keeping my ego in check. You know, that we create these illusory selves through selfing, through our chatter about who we take ourselves to be and what we are, what we think we are, and we create the suffering around it. And then we have to protect it all the time. This poor little ego is always getting bruised, bumped into, and slapped around. And when we can say, I can keep my ego in check, there's a way, that's a way to say, I release this form of suffering. Who I chatter about that I take to be myself may be my own fictional novel that I'm doing a lot of suffering in.
I just want to say I'm grateful to be a grandma. It's been a whole new world for me. I'm grateful that I was able to really listen to my heart about what I needed to do to when moving and where I needed to be, rather than just saying, oh, well, this is all I can do, but that I really was aware that I wasn't clinging to anything or pushing anything away. I'm going to take on more Dharma, and I really want to, I really want to understand some more, because I'd like to use a lot of what I'm learning towards my emotional stability, because there's just so much going on right now. And I feel that that's just something that that will help me get through this. That's what I want to do in 2022.
Yeah, and you know, we can take refuge in the Dharma. Yeah. So it's a wonderful way to handle and to work with what's happening in our world right now, is by taking refuge in the Sangha and the teachings and the truth and the Buddha, the Buddha's teachings. It's a beautiful way to take refuge.
Good to see you, everyone. Happy New Year, everyone. Thank you all. Everything you've said is, something that I resonated with me as well. I did want to share something that I did this year or last year, 2021, which goes to the question of joy. I had decided to do a show, a kind of like a cabaret show with a friend of mine around the Halloween time. And it was a live stream thing that we worked on together. And during that time that I was working on it, my beloved aunt, was in hospice, and it was, she lives on the East Coast. But I know during that time I said to my friend, you know, I shouldn't be doing this. This is the last thing I should be doing. This is ridiculous that I'm doing this show, and it's not, but one thing that came up was the act of joy and doing things that are joyful can sometimes be an act of defiance in a world of dukkha, of loss and impermanence, and all of the loss that I felt this year. And I know others have experienced tremendous loss. To choose to do joyful things in sort of the midst of suffering, was just a lesson I learned. It was defiant. So I just wanted to share that. I also am hoping, with just some of my intentions, is to sort of weed through the, what's unnecessary suffering and what is sort of at the core of true suffering. So anyway, just wanted to share that. So thank you.
Anyone else like to share? So one of the other, anyone else did I miss? No? Okay. One of the other contemplations that's good for right about now is now a time, is there anything that you need to or want to forgive yourself for? This self-forgiveness and the dwelling in compassion rather than this attack on self and suppression and draining of the energy. And some questions to think about, and you don't really have to share on this. If anybody wants to, they can. But without any judgment, can you extend compassion towards yourself? Just like you would for a friend or a loved one or a pet even. I'm smiling because when we were meditating, I don't know why I'm talking about this, but when we were meditating, the dog kind of meditates with us for some reason. And I accidentally knocked over something and made a loud sound, and the look he gave me of recrimination was being so disturbed. Just like we do for a friend, is this a time to soften to ourselves and give ourselves the forgiveness we need? And if so, what would that look like? Looking through the lens of kindness and compassion, can you give empathy to the experience or to what you felt was a deficit or a difficulty or what you did wrong? Can you bring warmth and caring? Is there a choice that you would like to commit to the future? To maybe not repeat whatever it was that created so much pain? And how do we make amends to ourselves? So something to contemplate. If anybody wants to say something here, and if not, this will be a good segue into our loving kindness practice this morning. So maybe take a breath or two if you want to stretch a bit, and we will end with a little bit of an extended loving kindness practice. So when you're ready, you can find a comfortable posture. It can be laying down or soft gaze, closing your eyes, a restful position, and bringing to mind someone you feel grateful for, someone who has given quite a bit to you, has given you unconditional love or support or wisdom. And holding this person in your heart, in your mind's eye. If you can't visualize, you can just have a felt sense of them. Extending your heart to their heart. And silently repeating the phrases from the heart, or just radiating a loving kindness towards them. And you can repeat the phrases silently. May you be safe and free of harm. May you be healthy in body and in mind. May you be peaceful, at ease, and free of suffering. May you know happiness. May you be at peace. And bringing in perhaps anyone who's in need of loving kindness that you have a worry about. This could be a group, a place of suffering on the planet, a group of people, or one person, and holding this group or person or being or any being at all, known or unknown, seen or unseen, in your mind's eye. And extending these words and feeling. As you feel love and give love, we fill with love. May you be safe from inner and outer harm. So I'm going to have Dawn continue this as we're having a pet moment here.
I'm just continuing to send wishes for loving kindness to whoever you have called to mind. May you experience happiness and genuine well-being. May you be as healthy as possible in body, spirit, and mind. May you be filled with peace and ease.
In moving the metta to this being, this one sitting here, this one deserving of your loving kindness and your care. May I be safe from inner and outer harm. May I be healthy and strong in body and in mind. May I be peaceful, at ease, and free of suffering. May I know and touch happiness and joy. And then sending the metta, widening the circle to all beings unconditionally, seen and unseen, near and far, radiating out beyond the walls of your home. May all beings be safe from inner and outer harm. May all beings be healthy and strong in body and in mind. May all beings be peaceful, at ease, and free of suffering. May all beings touch happiness and joy.
You have just listened to a recording from Insight LA in Long Beach. For more information, please visit us at insightla.org.